such a delicate flower. To stimulate, need serious horsepower. I can't pretend, cause it's a waste to be phony. She needs a stag on speed, I'm just a little pony. She took me to a dungeon in the hills. Didn't get me hot, instead it gave me chills. I can't pretend, I didn't notice how she loved the attention. She was willingly sodomized with a lawnmower engine. Come for me, will you, baby?
Welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast, the original sex and storytelling series featuring real people and rock stars sharing their bona fide sexual adventures. And now, here she is, Bawdy's founder, the grand dame of dirty storytelling, that impresario of pervy personal narrative, sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. We are up to episode 2 already, and I hope you're telling all your friends to subscribe and to listen, because today we're going to learn something. You may know what a fetish is. It's also called a paraphilia, and today's featured fetish is neurotophilia. Neurotophilia is a fetish you probably already have because you're doing it right now. And that fetish is listening to obscene words or stories. And today's episode relates to that territory. Our storyteller today is Jeffrey Hayes. He is someone who has told many times on the Bawdy Storytelling main stage in San Francisco. He is one of those storytellers who likes to go out, say, you know, I've never done that before, make that adventure happen, and 2 days later, I'm getting an email saying, hey, let's tell this story on stage. So here it is, Jeffrey Hayes with a story we like to call Word Porn.
Changed
it on us.
I
look,
know.
Look at that.
Okay.
Do it.
Right. Okay. Oh, no. Oh. 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 I could get used to that. Okay. Okay. This seems like a good height. Does everyone agree? Okay, good. We're all in agreement? Okay, good. Hi. I love you guys so much. You have no idea. So I counted it up, and this is my 6th performance with Bawdy.
Wow.
And I've only, my first time coming here was about a year and a half ago. So I feel like it's a good record. I feel good about it. And it's weird because, I'm still nervous every time I get on this stage. So thank you all for being here and being awesome. Part of the reason I get up on the stage so much is because I have a lot of really weird sex. An absurd amount of really weird sex. And a lot of the time, I do that on purpose. Because we all need hobbies. But this story is not one of the times that I meant to do it. This story takes place when I'm at school, sitting in the cafe, minding my own business, not trying to do anything. I'm browsing an app, right? I'm on Scruff. Scruff is an app for gay men. It shows you a little profile picture and how far away they are. And I'm browsing through this app, and I see this guy that I've had a crush on since school started. School, by the way, is California Institute of Integral Studies. Yeah, that tiny little hippie school. Yeah, that's the one. And so I'm at school, and I see this guy, Zed, who I've seen around school, and he's, really attractive, and he's got, this mystique thing going on, and I'm all about it. And I didn't know that he was, attracted to men, but here he is on the app, and it says he's less than 200 feet away. And I look up, and he's sitting across the cafe, and he's looking at me. And there's eye contact. And there is prolonged eye contact. And I figure I'm going to get up, and I get up, and I go over, and I look at him, and I say, hey, fancy meeting you here, and I show him the app. And I look at his phone, and he's got the app out too, and he's looking at my profile. It was meant to be. It was fate. And so, like, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm here for class. And he's like, do you want to get out of here? And I'm like, yes. And so we leave. I ditch class. I'm a bad boy. And yeah, I know. And we run to his place. And it's on Folsom Street. Whenever you're passing by Folsom Street, just remember Jeffrey got laid there. Several times. And so I'm there, and like he leads me up to his place, and it's, oh my God, it's such a nice place, because he's got like furniture and like an actual bedroom, you know, right? Like when you're in your early 20s in San Francisco, that's like, oh my God, that's like the creme de la creme. So he's leading me through, and he knows exactly what he wants, and he is telling me exactly what he wants. Do you guys remember Bop It? I feel like this section remembers a little more than the rest of you. But you remember that toy Bop It, right? It was like late 90s, early 2000s game, and it would be like, bop it, twist it, pull it, bop it, bop it, bop it, right? Imagine having sex with a Bop It. He would like point to his nipples and be like, twist them. Which is just such a wonderful thing. And it's just so wonderful when someone tells you exactly what they want and then you give it to them and then you feel like a gosh darn superhero. So I'm feeling really good about myself in this moment. Like, I'm having sex with him and I'm doing a good job and like, I'm getting my little A+ for the day. Like a little gold star for Jeffrey. And so we're going through this and he's whispering in my ears, which is like, oh, A+ for him, because I love it when people whisper in my ears. It's not so much about the words. It's about like the vibration and the sensation of it. That feeling when someone is whispering ever so slightly, just their lips gently brush your ear, and I turn to Jell-O, specifically lime green Jell-O. That's my favorite. It's just, I don't even have to hear what they're saying, and oftentimes I don't. I completely tune out. One time someone actually said the words magic school bus in my ear, and I didn't realize it until after I came and they told me. And now I don't speak to that person. But anyway. So we're going at it and it's great. And I see him beneath me, right? And he is just so beautiful. He's got like this unique calico cat kind of beauty, where his hair is all these different colors, like copper and caramel and chocolate, and it's just so divine to behold. And his eyes are this emerald green, probably. I'm red, green, colorblind, I can't really tell. But most likely green. Red would be a little weird. So, and I'm just so into him, and I can see him whimpering beneath me, and I can tell he's about to come. And I'm waiting for it, and I'm getting into it with him, and I can hear it building up inside him, and it comes out as this really large shout as he's shooting, and he says, "Somnambulant!" And I pull out. And he says, "Aren't you gonna come?" And I go, "Oh no, I did. I didn't. I lied. I know." And so I decide it's appropriate to cuddle, and like I'm like, okay, and I cuddle him. But how long do you cuddle someone who just shouted somnambulant? Like, that's not something Miss Manners wrote about. And I decide 120 seconds is appropriate. I count it out, and then I get him a towel, and then I leave. And I'm standing on the sidewalk, and do you ever have a moment where you just have to turn to the imaginary person next to you and just go, what? And And then you don't want to be alone, so you play out the other side of the conversation. You're like, and then you feel better. Somnambulant, by the way, means sleepwalker. I had to look it up. And then it's burned into my frontal lobe, right? Like somnambulant. He thinks you're somnambulant. Or maybe he's somnambulant, but somnambulant. And I'm like, stop it. And I'm just walking around school and I see him in the hallways and I have to like duck behind a shrub. And like, because I don't want to talk to him. And I'm like going to drum circle therapy class. And I wasn't kidding. It's a small hippie school. Finally, one day he corners me. And he's like, I thought we really hit it off the other day. What happened? I'm like, well, you shouted somnambulant. And then I responded like a normal person. And he said, well, you know, I've got this thing that I want to share with you. I'm a neurotophile. That's the correct answer. But let's learn together, shall we? Neurotophile is a term. Think neurota as in narration, not neuroses. A lot of people get that mixed up. I did too. So neurotophile is often used to describe someone who's turned on by dirty talk, but aren't we all? Neurotophile, in the truest root of the word, which is how he uses it, is meant to describe someone who is turned on by language, sexually attracted to words. And once he said that it was a kink, I was just like, well, why didn't you just say that? I love kinks. And he said, I thought you could tell. I was whispering random words in your ear the entire time. And I was like, oh, no, I don't listen. And he's like, okay, I've got this idea. We'll both talk. We'll both listen. I'm like, oh, now that's kinky. Like, and like, I collect new kinks like comic books, so I'm so into this. So we run to his place on Folsom Street. Again, furniture, so nice. He has this idea. We'll sit on his bed in our underwear, crisscross applesauce, and we'll just... Well, come on. That's the best way to sit. And so we'll sit there, and we will exchange words as if tennis players in a match, right? Yeah. So I start in Tarabang. The combination of an exclamation point and a question mark. He counters... Petrichor, the smell after it rains in a city. I come back with Velicor, the strange wistfulness of used bookstores. He comes back with Vermilion. So now we've got a rally going. Things are going pretty good here. I feel pretty confident. And I'm so into this because I start to learn as I get closer to his body, as I'm coming closer to him, we're entangling our bodies, but there's not friction, there's not direct genital contact. It's just us basically holding each other tight as we whisper words to each other. And I can whisper the word directly onto his skin and make him tremble. If I say the word, like, to his body, somehow all of him feels it. It's amazing. It's blowing my mind. And then something horrible happens. I start to run out of words. I'm not a thesaurus. I wish I was, but I'm not. So I get this idea, like, okay, my phone is by his feet, right? If I work my way down his body saying words, keep him distracted, I can get my phone out of my jeans pocket, then work my way back up his body, and then I can cheat. And look up words online, right? So, but I don't have any words in my head because I've run out of words. So then I come up with this brilliant idea. Fantasy novels, right? Because fantasy novels have all those words, those really weird words. So I'm just like, okay, a parcel tongue. Which is someone who can talk to snakes. Dixie thinks no one knows what that is. I keep working my way down. And then I'm like, Khaleesi. The Dothraki queen, right? And then I'm like fidgeting with my phone, trying to jury-rig it out of my pants, but my jean pants are too damn tight, and I'm just like, ugh, regrets. And so like I'm working my way back up his body, and like I've got my phone, right? And now, oh, now I'm armed. Oh, my dad texted. That's sweet. He says he hopes I'm having a good show. I am. So here are the words. Ready? So I'm whispering into him, and I go, verisimilitude, chartreuse, chiffon, chrysanthemum, retomancy, dalliance, tectonic, foible, rubatosis, ganache, voluptuous, defenestration, and he is just trembling. Every bit of his body is just vibrating. It's fantastic. I'm so ready for him to come, and I can see him. He's getting ready to come, and I'm trying so hard to find the perfect word for him to come to, right? So I'm like Googling so hard right now. And then he changes our position. And he pushes me up, and my phone goes flying, and it cracks against the wall, which is not the first time that's happened. And I'm just staring into his eyes, and I am completely defenseless and unarmed. And I just say the first word that comes to mind, and I say, syzygy. And we both come. And in that moment, I totally get it, right? Because, like, now I get it because syzygy is the alignment of two celestial bodies. In that moment, we were the celestial bodies aligned. We were the definition of that word, that beautiful, soul-wrenching word. He made us the beauty of the word. His love of language transformed us into something more beautiful. What's sexier than that?
Wasn't that story made extra fun by the fact that you got earbuds in right now? You're probably riding on the light rail and the person next to you has no idea you got a chub right now. Well, maybe they do. Depends on the pants you're wearing. So, that again was Jeffrey Hayes. We learned a few things. I hope we inspired you to go out and do a few things. Create a story. It's the best thing ever. And send me that story because I love to hear stories. If you'd like to be, other than walking around with a chub, if you would like to be part of what we're putting out in the world, there's a couple ways to do that. One, support our Patreon. Be a patron of our Patreon. Wait, no, patron of our Patreon. We are at patreon.com/bawdy, B-A-W-D-Y. And with your help, this podcast is going to get bigger and better, and stories going to get dirtier. And we know you want that because nobody knows what you're up to except me and you. And I'd like to say thank you to a lot of people. In particular, the music that you're hearing in this episode is from Jefferson Berge. Jefferson Berge is a musician who has been writing custom body songs for our show for a couple of years now, I guess. He has a brand new album of songs, all of which were written for body storytelling, and it should be out just in time for the holidays. You can find that at jeffersonberge.com or go to Body Storytelling, and we'll send you info there as well. Thank you to everyone who helps make body storytelling happen. That is our producer, Matthew Martyr, our sound engineer, David Grossoff, Ruben Tan, Sister Flora Goodtime, Crystal Crow. I am Dixie De La Tour. Please go out, get up to no good. Be nice about it, but get up to no good. Wait a minute, that didn't sound right. God knows I'm going to get sued over this shit. I really love it when you go out and make stuff happen. Create a story. Tell a friend about it. Tell me about it. I'm Dixie at BodyStorytelling.com, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. Come for me, weary lady. I am not the man who can give her what she needs.
cause she only comes when she's fucked by a machine. It's kind of sad, but that's where we're at. She prefers the business end of a baseball bat. I can't pretend that I can hit that home run, when all the while two pumps and a grunt and I am done. Sorry. Come for me, will you, lady? Like a passionate movie scene. And rolls her eyes at what others find obscene. She only comes when she's fucked by a machine. If only I was taller, or her vagina was a little smaller. Junk requires a 9-volt thing that rhymes with flattery. I can't pretend that I am capable of a spoil, when my dipstick can't reach far enough to check her oil. Come for me, will you, lady? Like a passionate movie scene. Comes when she's fucked by a machine. She only comes when she's fucked by a machine.
I was just like, well, why didn't you just say that? I love kinks.